There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports.
We go behind the scenes inside the chaos that is the Trump White House. Can Trump have a successful presidency with a dysfunctional White House? We'll ask the leading expert on the defining role White House chiefs of staff play in the success or failure of a presidency tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Chris Whipple is an acclaimed writer, journalist, documentary filmmaker, speaker, a multiple Peabody and Emmy Award-winning producer at CBS's 60 Minutes, ABC's Primetime, and most recently he was the executive producer and writer of Showtime's The Spymaster, CIA, and The Crosshairs. His groundbreaking and newsbreaking book, just revised for the Trump presidency, Gatekeepers, How the White House Chiefs of Staff Define Every Presidency, was on our show for the original release, and this is out in paperback, and it's already number 9 on the bestseller list. Welcome back, Chris.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Jim.
I got to tell you, I have never seen something become the Bible in a subject area as quickly as this book has become the go-to book. It's almost like you should just pitch a tent in the green room of all these TV shows. It's congratulations. It's pretty amazing.
Thanks. You know, it's kind of shocking to me that nobody beat me to it.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody had done this book before. And, you know, when you consider that the White House Chief of Staff is, as Jim Baker, Ronald Reagan's quintessential chief, put it, the second most powerful job in government. And Dick Cheney, who ought to know, says that the White House Chief has more power than the Vice President. That, of course, was true except when Cheney was vice president.
Yeah, we noticed that one.
So it's been kind of a perfect storm. The book tour that never ends.
Yeah, your timing was actually pretty good. Now the problem is you're going to have to make this purely electronic eventually because it's like the Apprentice show. You're fired, and there's a new guy coming in every other day. We've Gary Cohn, Rex Tillerson, the rumors about Kelly. Let me ask you right off the bat. I read something that Trump was alleged to have, you know, done on his phone calls behind everybody's back, that John Kelly, the current chief of staff, is overbearing, and he's not able to function with the instinct and impulse that Trump is. It's sort of a let Trump be Trump. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that, you know, Kelly famously said that he wasn't put on this earth to manage the president, that he was just going to be the guy who made the West Wing trains run on time and manage the information flow. And, of course, even by that narrow definition, I think he's come up short. But there's no question about it that there are times when nothing annoys Donald Trump more than when, as he put it, here's another nut job who thinks he's running things. Remember? When Kelly or anybody else pretends to be the quote-unquote grown-up in the room, it drives Trump crazy because he wants to be in charge, and he considers that condescending.
Do you think, Chris, that he's trying to, and you say this in the chapter too, you talk about trying to recreate the 26th floor of Trump Tower and the way he ran his really small boutique in terms of number of people business?
And he's done it. I mean, that's exactly what he's done. He's recreated the 26th floor management model from Trump Tower, and it's a complete fiasco when it comes to governing. You know, you just can't run the government the way you run a family Manhattan real estate firm. It doesn't work. And other presidents have tried, in fairness to Trump, other presidents have tried similar things. Jerry Ford, when he became the so-called accidental president after Nixon's resignation, he had an idea that he would have just all of his top aides coming and going, nobody empowered as first among equals, no chain of command. He called it the quote-unquote spokes of the wheel with the president at the center. Well, within a month, he realized it was a disaster. You know, he compared it to governing by fire hose. He needed, every president needs a White House chief or someone who can be first among equals, execute the president's agenda, do all the things that a White House chief has to do.
Do you do we have a dilemma here that you've proven very well about your paradigm? You can't be a successful president without a chief of staff who's empowered, but Trump can't seem to be Trump with a chief of staff who's empowered.
That may well be the case. You know, it may be mission impossible. Back in December 2016, all the former chiefs were invited to come to the White House and give some advice to Reince Priebus, the incoming chief. 10 of them showed up, sat around a table, and they all agreed on that Priebus needed to be empowered. He needed to have the authority to do the job. And, of course, we all know now that he never had that. You had at least three White House chiefs during the first 6 months between Steve Bannon and Jared Kushner and Priebus. And Priebus, I interviewed him at length a number of times for the new chapter in the paperback, which is out right now, as you mentioned. And Priebus insists that he knew going in that what all the chiefs were trying to tell him, and that he just thought it would never happen with Donald Trump, that this is a guy who is who he is, and he was going to run the place his way, and there was nothing he could do about it. But the White House chiefs themselves came away, virtually all of them, shaking their heads, saying to themselves, Godspeed, God help him, good luck.
We're going to dive a little bit deeper into both the chiefs that are in this new chapter, but give people a couple seconds on what is the job description of the chief of staff.
You know, it's almost impossible to overstate the importance of the role. Excuse me. You know, he's famously the gatekeeper, as we all know, who controls access and gives the president time and space to think. He is the so-called honest broker of information, meaning it's the chief's job to make sure that every decision is teed up with accurate information on every side of it, and also to make sure that only the toughest decisions get into the Oval Office. He's the person who is in charge of communications, and that means both the press secretary and the speech writers, and making sure everybody's on the same page. That may not sound familiar in this White House. He's the person who is the so-called javelin catcher, as Jack Watson famously called the chief. Usually the javelins are coming from the outside, not from the president. and he's, at the end of the day, he's the person who executes the president's agenda. You can have, in every White House, to some extent, you do have white hats and black hats, as Rahm Emanuel put it to me, fighting for the soul of the presidency, arguing issues from every angle. But at the end of the day, when the president makes a decision, and in most White Houses, that's an informed decision, unlike this one, it's the chief's job to salute, and everybody needs to fall in line behind him and execute the agenda. Finally, the most important thing, perhaps, as Leon Panetta, Bill Clinton's chief, or Jim Baker, Reagan's chief, would tell you have to be able to walk into the Oval Office, close the door, and tell the president what he does not want to hear.
You know something? That seems to be the number one fact in my mind. I think of Hope Hicks. I think of Priebus, even Kelly, people that were the closest to him, and none of them were able to do that.
I think that's probably accurate. I think that, allegedly Hope Hicks had a way of breaking unpleasant news to the president that might have been more effective than some others. But I can't imagine, nor have I heard any stories about her being able to go in and present really hard truths to Donald Trump. And let me give you a quick example of what the kind of thing Priebus tried to do, in fairness to him. And one of the stories he tells me in the chapter is that right out of the blocks, that Trump was convinced he wanted to rip up NAFTA. He wanted to slap 25% tariffs on steel and automobiles. And Priebus and others had to sit him down and say to him, do you remember Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Do you remember Iowa? If you rip up NAFTA, you're going to kill the farmers in those swing states. You're going to kill the people who voted for you in those swing states. And Trump reluctantly backed down and agreed to try to renegotiate NAFTA. But that's the kind of thing the White House chief has to be able to do, and it's not happening very often in this White House.
Listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find the station nearest to you. Listen over the Internet, access our inventory of podcasts. And we're going to go deeper into the reign of Reince and John Kelly and talk about Bannon as well. Coming up.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650. If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, they there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with Chris Ripple. His book on White House Chiefs of Staff is just out in paperback and also revised up to the minute, at least through tonight, on the Chief of Staffs. On the reign of Reince now, one thing I want to ask before we dive into this is, you know, you go through this, and Trump basically humiliated him, and he still seems, talking to you, completely loyal to him.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating because you wonder why anybody would want to come back for more ritual humiliation from Donald Trump. And certainly Priebus had to put up with a lot of it. There was that story about being summoned to swat a fly in the Oval Office. And, of course, his exit was ignominious. He thought he had a couple of weeks to make a graceful exit, and suddenly he finds himself tweeted out of the job on the tarmac on a rainy day in Andrews Air Force Base. And Kelly found himself tweeted into the job without any notice, by the way, a story I also tell in the chapter. But it's clear that Priebus wants people to know that he still wishes Donald Trump well. He still talks to Trump from time to time on that unmonitored extra phone that Trump has. Trump also calls people like Lewandowski, Corey Lewandowski. And Steve Bannon may even be talking again. Who knows? Certainly Trump's acting a lot more like Bannon lately. With his policy. So Reince Priebus wants to maintain a relationship with Donald Trump, and I think one reason that Trump talks to him from time to time is he doesn't have anybody with any political savvy at the moment in the West Wing. God knows John Kelly hasn't shown any savvy, and he doesn't have a David Axelrod. He doesn't have a Karl Rove in the West Wing at this point. So I think that they do talk from time to time.
Fascinating insight, too, is the chapter is called Go to War with the President of the United States. And really what comes out of this is the very first days in the job. A, it sets the tone of the administration with a lot of lies, and it sets himself up to fail.
It was a wild start.
Yeah.
The very first day, actually January 21, a little after 6 a.m., Priebus is in his at home watching the cable news networks. His phone goes off, and it's guess who? Donald Trump is furious, livid, screaming at him. He's just seen the pictures in the Washington Post of his own inaugural crowd dwarfed by a photo of Obama's inaugural crowd, yelling at Priebus to get this fixed immediately. And Priebus says to himself, do I really want to go to war with the President of the United States on day one? Well, shortly thereafter, Sean Spicer stepped up to the lectern in the White House press briefing room and told those flagrant lies about the inaugural photos, and truth was the first casualty of the Trump presidency on day one. And as we all know, that's continued on an almost daily basis ever since. And that's not just on Donald Trump. That's, in my mind, that's on Reince Priebus as well.
And also, Reince basically set himself up to say that I can be rolled, that I'm not going to stand up to this
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. So, look, on the one hand, people might argue that Priebus couldn't possibly speak truth to power in these circumstances. But that's the job requirement. You know, if you talk to Jim Baker or Leon Panetta, they will tell you that's the most important thing a White House chief of staff can do, and you have to be ready to resign. You have to be ready to draw a red line and say, if you cross this, I'm gone. And Jim Baker was able to, you know, one story I tell in the book is the time that Reagan decided that he wanted to strap every cabinet officer up to a polygraph. He wanted to track down a leak, wanted to find out who was responsible. Jim Baker was on his way to lunch, and when he got wind of this, he turned his car around, went back to the White House, burst into the Oval Office, confronted Reagan, and explained to him why you can't strap up to a polygraph every cabinet member, and including the vice president of the United States, who's a constitutional officer elected. And Reagan, of course, said, oh, well, you're absolutely right, Jim, and ripped up the order, and that was that. You have to be able to do stuff like that when you're White House chief.
That reminds me. People will have to read the book. There's a great story about Jeff Sessions trying to quit, and then Priebus, like, literally running out of the White House to try and prevent it from happening.
Yeah, it's a story that Priebus had never told, and couldn't be more relevant at the moment when you consider that the walls may be closing in on the Russia investigation, and Donald Trump may try to fire Sessions again. But on the evening of May 17, 8 days after Comey was fired, Don McGahn, the White House counsel, bursts into Priebus's office and says, not only do we have a special counsel, but the attorney general has just resigned. Priebus goes, what? Races down to the west, to the parking lot, finds Attorney General Sessions sitting in a car with the motor running, opens the door, drags Sessions out of the car, back up to his office where Steve Bannon and the vice president come in and work him over with Priebus and persuade him to unresign. So Priebus said to me, you know, Chris, that was just another day at the office.
Let's move to John Kelly. I mean, he looks like, first of all, he's a general out of central casting, which, you know, Trump likes, and he's supposedly an SOB. But he had a defining flaw in your mind in that he defined the scope of the job too narrowly?
Yeah, that was one of the big problems from day one. Kelly tried to redefine the job. In effect, he said, look, I was not put on this earth to manage the president, just to make the trains run and manage the paper flow to the president. Well, that just betrays a misunderstanding of the job. As I said just a minute ago, I mean, both Leon Panetta and James Baker would tell you that the most important part of the job is telling the president hard truths. Josh Bolton, who was George W.'s pretty effective chief at the end of that administration, said to me, you know, you don't substitute your judgment for the president's, but when you think that the president is doing something that is harmful to his agenda, it's your job to point it out to the president. Dick Cheney, who was Jerry Ford's very effective 34-year-old White House chief of staff, and it's a story I tell in the book, he loves to talk about that period of his life, Cheney does. But anyway, when Cheney pointed out to me that, look, when you've got a really tough message that you have to tell the president, it's really bad news, you can't have 8 or 9 guys sitting around going, well, it's your turn to tell him. No, it's your turn to tell him. Nope, it's your turn to tell him. One person has to go in and tell him what he doesn't want to hear.
And this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell. We'll talk a little bit about the revolutionary Mr. Bannon coming up.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now.
If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're talking to Chris Whipple. The gatekeepers, how the White House chief of staff defined every presidency. The revised paperback version is now out. And one more thing on John Kelly before we talk about Bannon for a second. You know, since he's come in, that you know, the tax cut got through, the North Korean announcement, the tariff announcements. Does he get credit for more stuff coming out as opposed to, you know, previous basically getting nothing through?
Well, you know, I still think this is a broken White House that can basically do nothing right. I think that the tax cut, you know, which may ultimately come back to bite the Republicans and Trump, because it's not clear to me that it really helps anybody in the middle class or the swing states. But the tax cut essentially was achieved only by keeping Donald Trump 100 miles away from it. You know, this is a guy who was supposed to be the art of the deal, and virtually everything he touches turns to dust. And Kelly has, I think, reinforced all of Donald Trump's worst partisan instincts. And what I mean by that is other presidents, you know, Trump is not the first president to come into office full of hubris, thinking he's the smartest guy in the room, intoxicated by his political victory. Most presidents get over that. Most presidents figure out that there's a difference between campaigning, which is demonizing and dividing and disrupting, and governing, which is a completely different thing, where you have to build coalitions and you have to reach across the aisle and you have to compromise and you expand beyond your base. Well, it's a White House chief's job to help presidents do that. And in contrast, Kelly's done the exact opposite. He's really reinforced Trump's worst partisan instincts, I think, in every way, from the moment he walked up to the lectern in the White House press briefing room and attacked that congresswoman with a false story, to attacking the Dreamers, to calling everybody on Capitol Hill an idiot. A White House chief, a good one, floats above the fray, doesn't get partisan. You know, even try to imagine two more partisan people than Dick Cheney and Rahm Emanuel. Cheney was Gerry Ford's White House chief way back in the day. Rahm Emanuel was Obama's first chief. Those guys were fierce partisans, but when they were White House chief of staff, you never would have known it when you were in the room. They were honest brokers. They didn't put their thumb on the scale. They were people who helped to execute the president's agenda, whatever it happened to be.
You know, it's funny, when you were saying that before about having to put coalitions and stuff, James Baker's the one that came to mind right away, because he sort of put this soft velvet glove around Reagan, the Reagan Revolution. You talked to Steve Bannon, Does he view that the revolution's been lost already, particularly with it, since he's not there?
Well, nobody would call Steve Bannon the velvet glove. Let's put it that way. He would be the iron fist as opposed to the velvet glove. But Bannon is a fascinating interview, as you can probably imagine. I spent a lot of time with him. He's very good at telling you stuff, as Don Rumsfeld used to put it, with the bark off. You know, he doesn't mince words, and he was really fascinating. And one of the things that he told me about Reince Priebus was that, you know, Priebus said to me that, you know, for every ill-conceived, half-baked thing that Donald Trump tried, such as the executive order on immigration, for example, which was blocked in the courts, was a really amateur operation from the get-go. For every decision like that that was implemented, there were 10 worse ideas that that Priebus claims, you know, that he stopped. Well, Bannon jokingly said to me, Priebus stopped 20 ideas, not 10, and 10 of them were my ideas. So he's, anyway, he has a sense of humor, but he's also pretty candid about the first, you know, 6 months under Priebus. I think he and Priebus actually were allies. I think that Jared Kushner and Ivanka really got tired of Bannon and wanted to get rid of him, and I think that Priebus really allied with him, and so the two of them have a certain amount of respect.
If you look at the Jared and Ivanka, and you look at Bannon, on both sides, do they seem to put their personal interests ahead of the presidential agenda with all this leaking and infighting?
Well, it's chaos. I mean, it's certainly been the most dysfunctional White House in modern history, and you know, the Reagan White House was pretty messy at times as well. You certainly had a lot of internecine
Yes.
conflict. You had factions that were after each other. One of the differences was that Jim Baker was such a smooth, savvy operator who'd been around the block that he knew how to navigate those treacherous shoals of family and powerful advisors. And Nancy Reagan, they don't come any more influential than Nancy Reagan,
yeah,
as family members. She was famously the quote-unquote personnel director. Mike Deaver, who was not family, but he was like a son to Reagan. And Baker was savvy enough to realize that he had to form alliances with them, and he did. So when the hard right ideologues came after Baker, who was the hated pragmatist in their eyes, Baker was able to fend them off, and Baker was able to prevail. And at the end of the day, guess who the biggest pragmatist of all was? Ronald Reagan.
Yes. The a couple of facts that Bannon says that I think are really interesting. One is that Trump is the opposite of the mad bomber. You know, there was this fear that, you know, that this guy may drop nukes at some point. That the people that wrote that book, 27 psychiatrists who think that Trump is dangerous, who I've interviewed Bandy Lee a couple of times,
yeah,
and all of them were all over. But now he's going to have this face-to-face with North Korea. So does it show that maybe he's more temperate than we think? And is this a Nixon in China kind of thing, or with no process, it's winging it?
Well, it sure feels like he's winging it, and whether or not it turns out to be a good idea, we're a long way from discovering whether it will even happen. So let's see what happens. I think it's too early to make any sort of conclusions about that. The only thing you can conclude is that he's this was an off the cuff decision by Trump, and look, there's no telling what could happen when you get two guys like that in a room and one of them feels humiliated. That's not necessarily a recipe for anything good happening, but again, I think it's just too early to judge that. But I did find it really interesting when the question I put to Bannon was, what's the one thing about Donald Trump that would surprise me that I don't know? I'm sure there are a lot of things I don't know. But he said, he's the farthest thing from the mad bomber.
Yes, yes.
By which he meant he's a guy who is cautious, judicious about the use of military force. Priebus agreed with Bannon. I asked him the same question, and Priebus said the same thing. Now, yeah, you can believe that or not. But I just found it an interesting observation, whether true or not.
I find it very interesting because of the folks that have done that professional book, and they've come to an opposite conclusion psychologically. Another fascinating thing was that Bannon referred to John Kelly. He's Fred Trump talking to Trump from the grave, the man that he wanted Trump to be, which is no braggadocio, which is the opposite, of course, who Trump is.
Yeah. Now, really interesting, because the very first thing he said to me about Kelly was, Kelly represents Fred Trump reaching from the beyond the grave, as you just said. He's the guy he wishes Donald Trump had grown up to be. Gary Cooper, just the facts, no nonsense. Well, I think that Bannon, in his usual sort of slightly hyperbolic way, was simply saying that Trump has that kind of respect for generals on the one hand. And yet, on the other hand, as Priebus told me, Donald Trump gets tired of people, and he especially hates it when anybody acts like the so-called grown-up in the room. And Kelly has done that at times. McMaster, he's had a really fraught relationship with McMaster, Trump has, because McMaster tends to come in with his, or at least in the beginning, came in with his PowerPoint presentations and was kind of professorial, and Trump felt condescending, and he hated that. So he's been known to say out loud to no one in particular, Trump is, I don't know about these generals. What do you think? Maybe they're a bunch of globalists. You know, as mad as a liberal, you know, he would just blurt this stuff out. So it's a kind of a, I think that Trump is conflicted about his generals. Let's put it that way.
Listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell from our flagship station, GL Radio and WGCH here in Greenwich. We'll talk about whether a Trump presidency can succeed without an empowered chief of staff. As we final national segments coming up.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back. Final segment, documentary filmmaker and journalist Chris Whipple. Let me ask you quickly first, I wanted to compare with a bunch of other chiefs of staff, but we're kind of out of time. But Clinton, to me, was a chaos president in the beginning. And how is it that he was saved versus Trump?
Well, I was saying before that Trump's not the first president to come into office full of hubris, and I think that Clinton thought he could run the White House by himself. Mac McClarty, his childhood friend, very capable guy, was his first White House chief, and it wasn't Mac's fault, but Clinton failed to empower Mac McClarty in a, yes, in a way that could make him effective.
And he's a great guy, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, just a wonderful guy, yeah, and very popular guy and very smart, but again, Clinton didn't get it, didn't understand the job. It was a year and a half in, he was really kind of stalled, and there was an intervention led by Hillary Clinton, a kind of intervention, Hillary Clinton and Al Gore, and they had their eye on Leon Panetta. They thought Panetta could be a really effective White House chief. They flew him to Camp David and essentially almost locked him in a cabin with Bill Clinton. Panetta didn't want to be chief of staff. He loved being OMB director. But as he put it to me, he said, I found myself in a cabin with Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, and Tipper Gore. I knew it wasn't going to be a fair fight. And Bill Clinton looked at him and said, Leon, you can be the most powerful, the best OMB director in history, and if the White House is broken, nobody will remember you. And when Panetta left that cabin, he was the next White House chief of staff, and he really did turn the Clinton White House around. You know, Bob Reich described him as an iron fist inside a velvet glove. Panetta really turned the Clinton White House around.
Do you think is Trump temperamentally and intellectually unfit to be president? Or is there a chance he could break your paradigm with an entrepreneurial president that somehow innovates and succeeds through total chaos?
You know, that's way above my pay grade. I'm not sure that anyone can answer that question with any real certainty. But this is a 71-year-old man who has always done things his way and who has functioned, again, with the model of the 26th floor of Trump Tower. It's worked for him. He divides, he demonizes, he disrupts. As Leon Panetta put it to me, this is a guy whose modus operandi is to pull the pin on the grenade, roll it into the next room, and wait for the dust to clear and see what happens. We've never had anybody anywhere near the Oval Office who operated that way, much less somebody with the nuclear codes. So it's just hard to imagine that, first of all, there aren't a lot of Jim Bakers and Leon Panettas to go around.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to imagine a chief of staff who could really significantly change Donald Trump.
Okay, let me ask you this way now. You've got your gold standard you call Jimmy Baker, and you've got some failed ones, Don Regan, for instance. Where would you put Priebus and Kelly on the continuum?
If you'd asked me a year ago, I would have said that Don Regan, who was Ronald Reagan's second White House chief, who was a real disaster. It's no coincidence that the Iran-Contra scandal happened on his watch, for example. It never would have happened on his predecessor's watch, Jim Baker's. I would have said that Reagan had a lock on that title, his worst chief of staff. Now I think he's got some competition in the form of Priebus and Kelly.
So you're putting both of them at that end.
I think they both got a shot at this. And Kelly, you know, in my mind, Kelly really is the greater failure in an odd way, because Kelly was empowered in a way that Reince Priebus never was.
Yeah.
Kelly was given more authority than Priebus, or seized more authority, however you want to look at it. To some extent, his failure is even greater to some extent. And he's, as I've said before, it seems to me that he's failed even by his own very narrow definition of the job, which was making trains run on time in the West Wing. And now the trains, of course, are off the track. You look up a year later, and the staff secretary has got no security clearance because he's accused of beating his wife. You've got 30 other people without clearances, including the guy who's in charge of Middle East peace. You've got everyone headed for the exits, and a White House that is really broken. So I think that, you know, sadly, I think that I like Reince Priebus, but I think that he and Kelly are contenders for that title.
Do you feel that that Kelly's about to go, or inevitably going to go? And with all your knowledge, and would you have somebody that should have a crack at this in mind?
You know, I really couldn't. I don't want to try to pick his successor. And as I say, it's, you know, there just aren't a lot of great candidates who could manage this guy, Donald Trump, in my mind. It's hard to say how long Kelly will last. I'm not so sure that he'll be gone quite as soon as everybody's predicting, because he's, with Donald Trump, you're in the doghouse one day and out the next and back in and then out. And I think that, as I say, I think that it's, I'm not sure that there's anybody in the wings that Donald Trump has in mind who could step in and be more effective. You know, I've just finished saying that he's one of the least effective, and yet this may well be mission impossible with Donald Trump, who is who he is, and as you say, maybe intellectually and temperamentally unfit for office. There's nothing anybody can do about that.
Now, of course, if you read your book and buy into everything, doesn't this say that Trump presidency has very little chance of being successful?
You know, let me just point out that it took Jimmy Carter 2.5 years yeah. to figure out that he needed to appoint one, much less empower one. Ham Jordan never had the title for the first 2.5 years, and Carter thought he could run it himself. It took Bill Clinton 1.5 years to figure out that he needed to empower a White House chief in the form of Leon Panetta. So it's not hopeless. It could conceivably still happen. But as I say, it only took Jerry Ford 1 month to figure out that he couldn't run his White House like the 26th floor of Trump Tower. And I don't see any evidence that Donald Trump has learned that lesson.
Thanks to Chris Whipple. That was a very fast hour. The book again, The Gatekeepers, How the White House Chief of Staff Define Every Presidency, now out in paperback with revised chapters on the Trump chiefs, and is number 9 on the bestseller list. been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Go to our podcast at biztalkradio.com. Go to the YouTube, search Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Thanks to Chris Whipple. Thanks to our national audience for listening. Thanks to everybody. And we'll see everybody again next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.